Brothers and sisters in the Dharma, I think let us start off with the puja. Brother Teo, we can carry on the writing and all right, to save time. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Good evening and welcome, Brother Teo and friends. And thank you for your compassion to come down here again another time to share with us your Dharma knowledge. And also, good evening, brothers and sisters in the Dharma. It's very heartening to see you all beaming with happiness, joy to come and listen to this Dharma talk. And tonight's topic is emptiness. So this word emptiness, I think that it's much discussed, mentioned about in the Mahayana tradition. But in the Theravadin tradition, I think the word used is voidness. So either one words used, if we understand the meaning, is fine. But people may ask, what do you mean by emptiness? What do you mean that the five aggregates are empty and non-existent? And this is mentioned in the Heart Sutra of the Mahayana teaching. Because in that sutra, the Buddha says, told Sariputta, that Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita. That is to say that the perfection of wisdom, of profound wisdom, and illuminated that the five skandhas were empty and non-existent. So what do we mean, or what did the Buddha mean by this word empty and non-existence? If they are non-existence, how come the five aggregates arise, right? So anyway, I leave the, it to Brother Teo to explain to us, and surely we will be able to benefit from his knowledge, right, Brother Teo?
Okay, thank you so much. Testing. Which one is the volume? Thank you so much to Brother Tay for the introduction. So before we start, I just want to make one correction. When Prasati mentioned, he said, when Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin, through the Heart Sutta, when he actually became fully awakened, then she recited the Heart Sutta. He said, something wrong. The power not on, I think. No, the battery, no, the current. Up there, the connection. Okay. Sorry. Sorry about the interruption. Not supposed to stay, I think. Again, happened again. No, just not the one. Okay, the connection. Maybe just leave it. Just leave it. Okay. Just now the other one, the brother thing? No, the other one. Pass the other one.
No.
Testing. Okay. So hopefully, all this can get resolved. You know what happened or not? Today, if you cannot accord and flow, your mind will be affected. We came just in time. I was thinking we were a few minutes early. So I told Brother Gan, I say we are really lucky, because we still got some time. So down there was about 8:26 when we arrived. So I thought, come out before 8:30, we can gather everybody. Then somebody told me, got chanting. So it's okay. Then we listen to the chanting. It's okay already. Okay, I use testing. Oh, very good. Thank you. So, that's why you need an electrical guy here. So if you have patience, you have understanding, you accord and flow, then nothing will go wrong. If you react and get angry, it's not the mind and the system. It's nature's law, hit back. So we need to accept everything is just the way it is. You cannot go against what is the reality. So just now, I want to clarify one thing that Brother Tay introduced, is that when Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was cultivating the Prajna Paramita Sutta, you know what is Prajna? Is that Prajna is wisdom in Sanskrit. In Pali is Panya. Paramita is perfection. So this is the sutta on the perfection of wisdom. That's why it's the highest wisdom cultivation. And according to the sutta, all Samasambuddha of the three period of time will cultivate this Prajna Paramita to become Samasambuddha. You see how profound the teaching is. Then he said while she was cultivating this Prajna Paramita sutta, he illuminated the five skandha. He don't use candlelight and illuminate or torchlight and shine. You know what is that light or not? What is that light? Wisdom light, yes. Because when the wisdom through the direct seeing, the silent mind is so clear, all of a sudden, when he illuminate with that wisdom light, means that prajna energy, then all of a sudden, the nature realize that the five aggregate of form and mind, they are all empty. Empty means doesn't mean don't exist, no. Understand? Empty means, in inverted comma, when you understand. Understand? The Buddha never said there is no human being. The Buddha said this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, is what the human being is all about, the first aspect. Then the mental five aggregate of form and mind. This one exists, understand? But this one is not you, understand? This one is impermanent, subject to suffering, and it is non-self and empty because it is not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to, and say this is me, this is I, because these are conditioned arising state. The form is element. Consciousness cannot be destroyed, as well. But they are not intrinsic. They are conditioned arising. But because of delusion, you cannot see. You mix up the two. As well. You think they are real. As well. That's why when they illuminate and saw that they are all empty, means empty of what? Empty of true essence and meaning. Understand? Who gave meaning? Who called them the five aggregate? It's the mundane mind, the thinking mind, not the true mind. The true mind understands that thing for what it is. That's why they never existed. To the true mind that has the wisdom, that can see clearly. Yet they are all not you. They are not real. They are conditioned arising. That part is very important. So emptiness is not about taking the word literally. Then you will use your mundane thinking, rational mind. Then you will be very confused. You will argue. Then you cannot come to term. You cannot even accept Mahayana teaching. Because you are so conditioned by your rational mind. That's why I wrote to ask Brother Gan. I said, what make you all choose this topic? Can you give me the rationale behind? And he very good. He said, Brother, we all Theravada. We always only heard of the five aggregate with the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, anicchang dukkang anatta. Never heard of emptiness. Emptiness is like cannot be. Where got this teaching? It's not in the Tipitaka. Then I say, I think I know why you ask, why you want this topic. Yeah, he wants to help people understand, and he hope I can clarify this so that whether you are Theravada or Mahayana, there is no more problem because it points to the same Dhamma. So now I will explain to you why Mahayana used this word. In fact, Theravada got this word too. You saw what is on the whiteboard, isn't it? The Pali word is what? Sunyata is in your teaching, anasara. And what is sunyata? Of course, he said whiteness. White. White means what? Without anything, empty. But what is empty according to you may not be empty according to the scientist, correct? Let's say you have an empty vessel. We call it empty, or empty pot. Do you think it's empty? Why? Well, the scientists will know. We live on a planet where we still got the atmosphere. Atmosphere means what? There is air. That's why the scientists can even break down. How many percent hydrogen? How many percent? Try to test your physics or chemistry. How many percent? 80%. Or nitrogen, sorry. Was we are very quick. I also got it wrong. Nitrogen. Almost. They got the oxygen 20. So the rest is rare gases. Very rare. So hydrogen. Nitrogen, sorry. Not hydrogen. Nitrogen is the bulk of it. You know why? Nitrogen is not combustible. Understand? Without this 70% to 80%, the planet will be on fire. Understand? Your oxygen level very high. And you know, we are subject to our planet's gravity. So that's why you have a container, you extract the air out. What happened? There is a vacuum. So external pressure will create a force onto the container. I remember during the early secondary school years, my teacher used to, you know what they do or not? They go and heat up the thing until the steam all come out. Then they go and lock. Then when it condenses back, the steam no more in there. So inside is almost practically a vacuum. Then you see how it gets crushed, the whole thing. So the pressure that is built up is very real. So what you say empty is relative. Understand? To you is an empty container or empty pot. But to the scientist, there are something inside. So emptiness, that word, empty, has been used as a what they call words to communicate certain meaning. So you cannot take it literally. You take it literally, then you will argue. Then you say, what type of teaching is this, the Hatsutta? Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. If you use your logical or rational mind, you sure cannot come to an agreement. Then you will have doubt. Cannot be. What type of teaching is this? Everything is so solid, so real, and you say empty, not real. Then why you want to live life? Live life for what? Everything is empty. So if you think your money is also empty, not real, give it to me. Then I use it. It doesn't mean that there is no money. Empty, the meaning is very deep. It depends on your understanding and your seeing. If you cannot develop the right understanding to see clearly, then this word has got no meaning to you. But when you develop the wisdom and the understanding, then when you have that wisdom light that illuminates clearly into reality, then you realize what the Buddha teach in the Theravada and the Mahayana is exactly the same. That's why the Buddha said, all of the universe, each and every phenomena, not only that five aggregate of form and mind, understand not? As a human being, the second aspect too, the mental five aggregate. This, like I shared with you the last week, you remember under Abhidhamma, there are four types of ultimate Dhamma, Paramattha Dhamma. What are they? Rupa, sabo, citta, cetasika. These are the within the conditioned world, understand not? These are actually form and mind, understand not? Rupa is form, citta is mind, cetasika are the content of consciousness, understand not? And the Buddha said these are the ultimate of the universe within the conditioned world, because from this form and mind everything arises, understand not? Nothing is apart from it. So that's why the Buddha said, if you understand this five aggregate of form and mind, which is your Namarupa and its content, they are all having the same universal characteristics or impermanent, leading to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling onto it. And they are all condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto and hold onto and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this can be mine. So that's why it's not only non-self, it's impermanent. It leads to suffering. And because of that, ultimately, it's all empty. Anatta got two meanings. Non-self is just a small aspect of anatta. That's why the Buddha, when he taught the sutta, he asked the monk to chant, you remember? Rupang anicchang, remember that? Then rupang anatta, what is the meaning? Form is anicchang is what? Impermanent. Then anatta is what? Oh, form is non-self. This table non-self. This table is just an element. It don't have life. Why you want to identify with self and non-self? Self and non-self is when it's as a human being. The first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. If you deludedly cling on to this form and mind, then you have sakayaditi, self-delusion. Because this one is not you. That's why there is no atta there. Understand? Can follow that? Yeah? Oh, no answer means cannot. It's very, very profound. Never mind, slowly you will understand. Because when you don't meditate and when you don't have the silent mind to see clearly, you will believe this human being is you. Understand? You will say, how can I have been using it for the last so many years? Yeah. Because you all have already experienced life, and this form of mind has been following you for so long. Then when you are born, they give you a name. You are so conditioned. Then you use that name and identify yourself. Then you every time act with this. Then you say, I think, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel, therefore I am. So then you exist. But if you go and meditate, and you will come to a different understanding. You will get a shock of your life. This so-called human being was never you. Bundle of memory with its conditioning, following nature's law, going the way of nature. If I have time, I will explain this. Those who attend my class, they already know. Yeah. Because it's very simple, but I don't have that luxury of time because the condition is we started late. Yeah? Then we have to move into many things. So now I will read you one sutta first. Yeah? They call this Ani Sutta. Anybody heard of this? Ani Sutta. The Buddha actually during his time spoke about this sutta. I only came to know about this about a week ago. I saw it on Facebook by one of our Dhamma friends from Bab's, I think, Yuban. Then I was curious. I got such sutta. Then I was telling myself, how come so coincidental? Next week I'm going to deliver this talk on emptiness. And like Brother Day last week said, hopefully you all turn up, because you see the title, you say everything empty, what is there to listen? Then, in order to give faith, this sutta came out. I go and print from internet. It will help you a lot. The Buddha said, when the Dhamma ending age come, this is how the Dhamma will disappear. When people don't believe the true words of the Buddha, when he explained this word emptiness, sunyata, the profound deep teaching. Yeah. I read to you, then you understand. Anisutta, staying at Savati, the Buddha told the monks, he said, there once was a time, means in the ancient time, that the Dasarahas, they had a large drum called the Samana, Anasara. Every time when they want to summon all these people to meet, to discuss certain matter, they will use this drum. They call it the summoner. When summoner was split, means what? When there is disagreement among the people, understand not? You know what they do? They will put one peg. They insert one peg into the drum. Until the time came when the summoner's original wooden drum or body had disappeared. Why? Too many pecs. Means too much disagreement. Like what happened? Theravada itself also split into so many fractions. Now they go for method, technique, teacher, interpretation, commentary, everything. Last time during the Buddha time, only one teacher. One teaching. Now? Then you have, the worst is Mahayana. then Vajrayana also break into so many. So you know how many pack went in, until drum was no more. Then the Buddha said, when the original wooden body of this drum had disappeared and only a conglomerate of packs remained, that was what happened. So the Buddha said, in the same way, you listen, in the course of time in the future, there will be monks who won't listen when discourse that are words of the Tathagata. Tathagata is the Buddha, isn't it? Correct? Deep, deep in their meaning, transcendental. You see the word transcendental. What is transcendental? Transcend the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the rational mind, the conditioned arising mind. Understand? Can follow? That's why it's transcendental. Connected with emptiness, sunyata, are being recited. They won't lend ear. They won't set their hearts on knowing them. They won't regard this teaching as worth grasping or mastering. But when they listen to discourse that are literary works, the work of famous poets, elegant in sound and elegant in rhetoric, the word of outsider, the words of so-called disciple are recited. They will lend ears and set their heart on knowing them. They will regard this teaching as worthy, worth grasping and mastering. In this way, the disappearance of the discourses that are words of the Tathagata, deep, deep in their meaning, transcendental, connected with sunyata or emptiness, will come to be. Pitiful. Just because you don't have open mind. What's wrong with having an open mind to listen? Cannot understand, just let it be. But when the time comes and you can understand, you will appreciate the deep, profound meaning. You should observe and investigate into everything. If that teaching can transform living beings and bring about great transformation, and what you are doing has actually made you stagnate and remain the same, then why must you doubt? Why can't you give yourself a chance not to give others a chance? You, yourself. Because your karma, your karmic nature depend on this understanding. If it happened to be the truth, what happened? You got nothing to lose by having an open mind and investigate into it, isn't it? Clear or not? True or not? If you cannot understand this, then very difficult to make you understand the Dhamma. Because the actual Dhamma is a lot more profound. Okay, now I will zero in on the true understanding. We talk about emptiness. Just now I already started. Empty of what? It's relative, isn't it? If you are a scientist, you will keep arguing it's not empty, got air. So it will lead to what? Argument, debate, asana. But when it comes to the true teaching, emptiness is an understanding. There is nothing to debate, asana. We are life is like that, asana. Let's take the human being as a very good example, because Brother Gan say the Theravada always talk about this five aggregate of form and mind. Asana. Then the Buddha always refer it to as impermanent, bring about suffering, non-self and empty towards the end. Yeah. But the empty nature of existence is what the Buddha meant under anatta. That's why rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Because it's impermanent, it's condition arising. Listen, condition arising, causal phenomena. It is not real. Because whatever that is condition arising is not stable, correct? It will transform according to the supporting condition. When the supporting condition cease to be, that phenomena cease to be, then you say what? Die. But sound, you don't say die. Understand? When I stop speaking, there is no condition for your hearing consciousness to arise. You never say that sound die. You say that sound disappear. That's not. But when human being heartbeat stop, you say, I die. Because there is a society, you think there is a person who died. But actually the supporting condition is to be, that's not. Just like sound, no different. So when you come to understand that, you will have a different understanding altogether with regards to this five aggregate of form and mind. First, you look, like the Buddha said. How many of you have heard of this sutta, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta? The sutta on emptiness. Oh, very good, we have a few. Yeah. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta clearly points out to you what the Buddha meant. Yeah. He said form, yeah, this human form. If you look at it, can you say this is me? This is self? Can you say it? Cannot. Because you believe this is you, you will say, why not? Can. So what happened? The Buddha said, if you believe this is you, you will have problem. Because the first noble truth very clearly points towards that. What is suffering? He said, in short, is due to your delusion, self-delusion, sakkādhiti, that condition you to grasp and cling to this five aggregate of form and mind. The upadana khandas that I call dukkha. So if you think this is you, what happened? You will worry about this form, this physical body, getting old, getting sick and die. Correct or not? Suffering arises or not? So he, in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, I will read to you. The Buddha said it very clearly. You know, this body, he said, is not self. Why? He told the five ascetics, after the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he expounded this sutta, all five become arahant. But this is very penetrative. So you listen. Maybe some become arahant too. Really, we can. Possible, not difficult. The Buddha said, form is not self. Physical body is not self. External form too is not self. Why? For if form were self, this form will not lead to suffering, he said. Agree or not? If it's really you, a permanent unchanging entity, how can it become otherwise? Then you can have complete control. What you want to do with it. Because it belongs to you. Understand? Itself. You. You can say what you want. Understand? May my body not get old, not get sick and die. But you have gone through life there. That form want to get sick never ask permission. Understand? Straight away give you a problem. Then only you worry about it, panic. Understand? Then you quickly rush to the doctor. Then doctor give you some bad news, your face also pucat. Then what is happening? Because of delusion, attachment, sakkāyādhiti. So the Buddha said, for its form were the self, this form would not lead to suffering. And it would be possible to obtain from this form the fulfillment of one's wish that it should be thus and not otherwise. But just because form is not self, therefore it leads to suffering, and it is not possible, and not within our power to obtain from form, that it should be thus, and not otherwise. This sentence can accept or not? Can accept or not? If like that also cannot accept, you don't need to listen on already, because form is the easiest to understand. Understand? You have experienced suffering in there. If this form is you, you can tell this form in there, hey, I control you, you know. You under my command, you know. This is me, you know. I can do what I want, you know. But it goes the way of nature, means what? It follows nature's law, you know. Even God also has to abide by nature's law, you know. That's all, you know. God also cannot avoid 911, you know. Because during one of the interviews by Larry King, he said, it appeared to me now there were two gods, the Islamic God, Muslim God, and the Christian God. But this round, Islamic God won. Because the Christian God Almighty cannot predict, cannot stop 911. So that will give you a type of understanding that God also subject to nature's law. They got no power over nature's law. Everything follows nature's law. So the real God is nature's law. God decide. Nature's law decide. Correct? Karma decide. That is God. Because if you want to know what true God is, all mighty nature, nature's law that governs our existence, that is almighty. From nature you come, to nature you shall return. That's why from emptiness you come, everything return to emptiness. Because they are all condition arising, causal phenomenon. When condition cease to be, everything return back to the original state, the void. That's why it's empty. It's just like this, what they call Mandarin saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Namo si zu, he bi ku ku in between, wei kong liu lei. You understand? You are born into this world without anything. When you come empty-handed and naked. Understand? When you go, you also cannot take anything along. Correct? They will cremate you if you are lucky. If not, they bury you until you rot. But you got no consciousness. You don't know what is happening. The termite, the bug will eat you, so you don't know. Is that you? At that time, you say, cannot be me. But before that, fear of death, fear of all this and that. Like so real. Like this is what you are. So this reality will show you. If you come also empty, return to nature also empty, then why in between you fight and become so miserable and grieve over emptiness? Understand? This is one of the meaning of emptiness. Anatta. So the Buddha continue, he said, feeling is the same. He said, feeling, if it were the self, it will not lead to suffering. Understand? It will not lead to painful feeling, unhappy feeling, unpleasant feeling. And it would be in our power to obtain from feeling the fulfillment of one's wish that it should be thus and not otherwise. But just because feeling is not self, it leads to suffering, and it is not within our power to obtain from feeling the fulfillment of our wish that it should be thus and not otherwise. Then he repeat for the other aggregate of perception, sankhara and consciousness. Then after that, the Buddha continued. He said, what do you think, Bhikkhu? Now I ask you, is the physical body permanent or impermanent? Yeah? Impermanent. This one you can answer very fast. You see yourself growing old, getting nearer and nearer to that final point. Then he said, and that which is impermanent, is it always blissful, or is it subject to suffering off and on? It's not always blissful. When you're young, during your youth, that time maybe you enjoy life. But some are not so fortunate. Karmically, they are born with defect, handicap. But most of us, good karma, we came healthy, but not for long. That as old age sickness catch up, then this body start to decay and start to fail you. Anasana. The organs start to fail you and many things start to go wrong. Then the Buddha continue. And that which is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it right to consider it thus? This is me, this is I, and this can be mine. What do you think? Because ultimately, when your breath stops, what happens? You cannot own anything. You cannot have anything. Even this very body, you cannot take along. That's why in the Dhammapada, the Buddha said, my son, my wealth, my property, these only the fools lament. For that very body doesn't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth. Understand not? You can't even own your own physical body. You want to own another person's body, loved one. You want to own all the wealth, the property. Understand not? They are all condition arising. When the condition is there, temporarily, like you own. Understand not? But when conditions cease to be, it will be gone. Like last time, the Iraq and Kuwait war, you remember? Overnight, Kuwait went in and he said, Iraq went in and kicked Kuwait government out. And Kuwait government and the Kuwaiti don't own anything. Understand? Overnight, gone. Then United Nations, together with the Western power, US, they declare war. Then they got it back. So, overnight can be gone when condition is no more. So all this reflect clearly the impermanent nature of condition arising world, the aggregates of mind. Then the Buddha continued with the other aggregate. He said the same. What do you think, bhikkhu? Are feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness permanent or impermanent? Repeat. Then, and that which is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it right to consider it thus? This is mine, this is I, and this can be mine. That is certainly not correct, the Buddha said. Then after that, he told the bhikkhu, therefore bhikkhu, listen, he said, whatever there is, or there be, of form, physical body, external form, feeling, perception, mental formation or consciousness. Mental formation or sankhara and consciousness. Whether past, present or future. One's own or external, gross and subtle, lofty and low, far and near. One should understand according to reality. The last week's talk. According to reality. And true wisdom. All these five aggregate of form am I. This does not belong to me. This am I not. This is not myself. This is not me. Yeah. When understanding it thus, he said, the wise noble disciple becomes wary of form, feeling, perception, mental formation and consciousness. Wary of all the five aggregates of form and mind. They will feel revulsion. And on account of this revulsion, they attain liberation. And the spiritually liberated disciple knows that he or she is liberated. That birth has been exhausted. The holy life lived out to perfection. The duty performed. And that there shall be no more birth or return to this conditioned world. Thus spoke the Blessed One. The five bhikkhu expressed their appreciation of the speech of the Blessed One. But while this discourse was being delivered, the mind of the five ascetic or bhikkhu attained perfect spiritual liberation from all grasping and attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind. And at that time, there were six perfect arahant in the world. So easy, huh? Anybody transform? Actually, it's not difficult. So now I will go into the actual sutta. So now, you look at the Heart Sutta. Ani Sutta already give you an indication of what this teaching is. So Heart Sutta say, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness. How do we reconcile? Before there is this form, what do you have? You have empty space there. Then later on, the planet evolved. Then there is what they call gravity. Then it will start to create atmosphere. Because through the whatever, evaporation, all those things, and the gravity, they will trap the atmosphere. Then it start to fill with air. Then when the human mind evolved, when living being evolved over eons and eons and eons, then all this, what they call formation from the Big Bang, they become elements, and they start to actually accumulate. Then you have the planet, then you have the atmosphere. Then what happens is, you go to space, you know, it's empty, without air also, okay? That's why you cannot use what they call the normal flight technology. They need oxygen to burn your fuel on, that's all. You need rocket propulsion that have the thrust to push this one out, understand? Then you need to have liquid oxygen to create oxygen. We are in space, there is no oxygen, understand? So a lot of the understanding apply. So when you are on planet Earth, let's say, initially it's just a void. You call this void, this space, let's say. Then you go and introduce, let's say, a box. Okay, so this is, let's say, a stone box, no need box, maybe, a solid box, okay, means solid. Yeah? So what do you see? So this one you say is form, understand or not? Can follow or not? But before the form come in, is what? It's just space there. Space or void is there. So, Guan Yin say, form does not differ from emptiness, the space. Understand? Emptiness, the space, does not differ from form. They both occupy the same place. Clear? Can follow? Now you, agree. Understand? So, coming back to human body, physical body, when I look at you, if I look at your external form, then you are different, isn't it? Clear? I'm different, isn't it? But do you know we occupy the same space? Do you know that? Which is within, empty. But you cannot see. But when we talk about spiritual understanding, we are not interested in the empty space. We are interested in the whole of that being. So if I look at this human being, like this analogy, what do I see? If I deludedly identify with this form, this is form, this is mind, correct? Because the human being is just these two, consciousness trapped inside the mind, correct? And the physical body. If I deludedly cling to this one, what happened? Then we are all different. That's why the world has a lot of problems. We look at form. Form Dhamma is not the true Dhamma. Form Dhamma is only one of the conditions arising Dhamma. They are not ultimate truth. They are relative truth, partial truth. So if I don't look at the form, what do I see? If let's say I can see beyond form, as I meditate, and I have developed this ability to be heedful, to be silent, then I start to understand the human being is not just the external form. Well, like the Buddha say, the external form is made up of element, correct? Four element, no knowing, so it cannot be you, correct? Correct? The four element cannot be you. So form is definitely not you. For according to Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, it goes the way of nature. Understand? It brings about suffering. Understand? You got no control over it. Understand? So if this is not me, why do I deludedly attach, cling, and give meaning? So if I try to look beyond form, if I see beyond form with my direct seeing, what do I see? No more form means what? No more problem. I don't identify with this physical body means I don't have problem with gender. No more male, no more female. Correct? No more Chinese, Christian. Oh, sorry. Indians, Malay, or whatever. That's not. The race issue also gone. No more tall, short, young, and old. That's not. Or you. So much problem resolved if I can see beyond form. That's not. That is the Dhamma. Do not be gullible. Don't use your mundane mind to see. Then you will be deceived. Understand? That's why in the Mahayana, there are three stages of seeing. Yeah? Three stages of seeing. First one is what? First one is what? Mundane seeing. Understand? Mundane seeing is what? Kan san su san. Correct not? Correct not? Because mundane people, mountain lah. Why you want to argue? Understand? Human being lah. Understand? Sui an lah. Understand? Brother te lah. You identify what? External form. Conditionalizing mind. Understand? That's why the first level of seeing is mundane seeing. And you argue like mad, no? Right and wrong, no? The male, they are more whatever. Those who are born as male, one, they were side one. Male is a better gender. We are the head of the household. Then most of the men, they are more superior. So all this come from what? Mundane seeing, using the thought, attachment, delusion, relative truth, not ultimate truth. Because this is not a reality. This is not you. Understand? Not four elements, no knowing. How can it be you? If I see beyond form, I go direct to the mind. So when I see that conscious mind inside, you are not so much different anymore, is it? True or not? But are you the same? Consciousness is content, no, remember? Citta, cittasika. What is your content? Your views, your opinion, your conditioning. Ah, that's why this one is still different, understand? Not? This one is the mundane mind, consciousness, understand? Not? This one is your mundane mind. Yeah, this is still consciousness. Understand? So when it is consciousness, you have your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Then we are still different. Understand? Then you say, I Christian, no? I Buddhist, no? Then the religious label become very important. No? Or I Chinese, no? My traditional belief is this, no? I Guai Lo, no? I cannot accept traditional Chinese culture and all this thing, no? So, you still argue, understand? So that's why this form of mind, the Buddha say, you must have wisdom through direct seeing, you penetrate, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. When he illuminate on this, he realized these are all conditioned arising state within the mundane world, the conditioned arising world. They have the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering leading to non-self, empty, no meaning. Ultimately, it's all empty. Only mighty nature rolling by, understand? Following nature's law. That's why according to Anatta Lakkhana, you realize, Sutta, you realize that these are all not non-self, empty, impermanent, little suffering. So when you understand these two, you will see beyond that conscious mind, understand? When you see beyond this mundane mind, this consciousness and its content, what do you see? What do you see? Yeah? What is behind this five aggregate of form and mind? What is behind? Yeah? You will see the unseen, understand not? What is the unseen? You should ask me, the unseen means cannot be seen. Yeah. This one you cannot use your conscious eye to see, understand not? Understand not? This one is your true mind, your true nature, understand not? Understand not? Because this one cannot come out and live life. This one cannot think, no thought on. Understand not? True mind or your true nature. Huh? Or original nature. You got different name for it. Understand not? So when you can, through your direct seeing, your silent mind, when you can connect to it, then you realize this is the unconditioned. No thought, no aggregate, no form of mind. It's just aware before the knowing. Then what happened? That one got no words, no concept, no idea, no views, no opinion. But that one cannot come out and live. Understand or not? Understand or not? To live life, you need this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being. Understand or not? These two, form and mind, when you combine the five aggregate, this one is the human being. Understand or not? This is the vehicle and the tool that you come to this world. Through what? Through? This is the karmically conditioned form and mind. The vehicle and the tool for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But without this true mind, through the direct seeing, developing the wisdom to understand all the unreality of this form and mind, to break that self-delusion, sakayadity, and to see their characteristics of impermanent suffering state and empty nature, you can never liberate your mind. That's why without the direct seeing, through the silent mind meditation, you cannot develop the wisdom. That's why thought-based meditation is doom, I tell you. Understand or? You are trapped in form and mind trying to liberate from form and mind. Understand or? Thought trying to escape from thought. Understand or? You go and ask yourself. You play the game of delusion. And you want to come out from delusion. Who is trying to come out? The thought want to be enlightened. But what is enlightenment? Beyond thought, beyond mind. Thought must die, but thought don't want to die. When your thought die, you die. That's all. When you think you are that thought, you think feeling is you. You think there's a person who think, perceive, become conscious, live life. Can you follow that? This is the biggest delusion. This is the real understanding of Heart Sutta. Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is empty because it's condition arising. When condition cease to be, it never there. Like the table I described last talk. Remember? Externally, like the block cut analogy, it's already condition arising. When the parts come together, it perform a function, you give it a name, then the block cut arise already. Anasara. Then you say real. Then what did the Buddha told the monk? Take it apart. The wheel, the axle, all take apart. Then he asked the monk, where is the bulaka? They say, no more. Hey? Very nice type of game. Isn't it? Suddenly, bulaka. Suddenly, no more. Then put it back. Oh, bulaka again. So the Buddha said, what do you understand? When conditions are there, when it performs a function, you give it a name, and a concept, then it arises, become real. That's why everything is mind-made. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises to perceive, then it becomes real. Anasana. Exists already. And who say it's real? It's the thought. Anasana. With its content. So the thought with its content, you have to really have the mindfulness and the silent mind to understand that these are conditioned arising state law. Anasana. When you penetrate this, you will see things very differently. Understand not? Like the Buddha said, externally is condition arising. Yeah? That block cut, or this table, this whiteboard, my physical body and form and mind, they are all condition arising. Not so real. Correct not? Then how do you know it's a block cut? How do you know it's the table, whiteboard, or brother Joe? Through what? Through your? Your aggregate of perception. You perceive it through an image here, understand? And you recall through memory, understand? Externally already conditioned arising, not so real. How do you come to know about it? You know it through a perception, an image up here, laterally inverted, but your brain knows how to make it upright. Then what are you doing? The image is even more unreal, isn't it? The perception. That's why it's just mind-made, consciousness only. What did the Buddha say? Consciousness is like a magician, remember? Illusionalist. What is a magician? An illusion that creates illusion for you to see. All of perception is like a mirage. The five aggregate, the five analogy, go back and reflect on it. Form is like foam, looks so solid and real, but behind it is empty. Understand? And foam disperses very fast. Apparently, like very solid. When condition dispersed, it's gone. Like the bullock cart, if it's fire, it burns. Understand? It returns to nature. It follows nature's law. It goes the way of nature. Finally, when it worn down after a long time of use, it also crumbles. Understand? Like the Buddha told Ananda. The Buddha want to parinibbana already. Then Ananda crying. Then somebody say, you must beg the Buddha to extend his life. Buddha got psychic, he can do it. When Buddha was approached by Ananda, you know what the Buddha told Ananda? No? Huh? You know what he told Ananda? No? He said, don't be foolish. This body of mine is like a worn-out blocker. You know what is a worn-out blocker? Waiting to collapse and crumble. No? You still want me to continue with this one. He said, out of love and compassion, I already worked so hard and used this form to the last. You somehow want me to go inside this for another 5 or 10 years. Understand? Or another 40 years. He thought everybody can be like them, 120 years. But the Buddha, out of love and compassion, actually sacrificed the physical body. That's why he passed away at the age of 80. And to him, it's enough. 45 years of Dhamma, you still cannot understand him. He stay on another 10, 20, 30, 40 years or no use. Understand? If you really want to learn, to me, 5, 10 years enough. Understand? Because under Satipatthana Sutta, what did the Buddha say? Fastest 1 week, longest 7 years only. No? You still young. No? You still got a lot of time. Understand? The oldest is how old? 70? At least you live to 80, you still enough time. So this one can understand. This is the essence. And now I go into life. The most important is about life. After understanding all this, don't be gullible. Don't be deluded. Don't cling on to these two. Learn to have the direct seeing. That's why connect with your silent mind to your true nature. When you understand, you inherit all of your spiritual understanding and wisdom. Not until you connect, you cannot inherit. Before you connect to this true nature, the unseen, you will inherit all your karma. Understand? Good and bad. That's why if you don't follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, you will be stuck. I tell you. You cannot come out of samsara. You cannot liberate your mind. That's why you must have sati, mindfulness, heedfulness, leading to the silent mind, pasati. Then this one will have the ability to see things as they are, the direct seeing, and awaken to the truth and the reality. That's why, like I always tell you all, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. True or not? What is truth? Universal characteristics of nature. What are they? Impermanent, suffering, and non-self. They are inherent in all phenomena, the Buddha said. Physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. Everything in this world, every phenomena, exhibit this characteristic. These are the truth. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Every moment, every instant. Why can't you see? Because you never silent. That's why you cannot see. You see with the direct seeing, the true mind, not with your thought and your thinking mind. Understand? Or not with your deluded mundane mind. That's why we haven't finished this. First seeing is mundane seeing. Second one is what? Second one is what? Direct seeing. Direct seeing means what? with the silent mind, with the awareness, you see things as they are. When you see before the knowing, before the perception, before the word and the concept, what do you see? 看山不是山, understand? But the word doesn't come out. Understand? The concept doesn't. You see things as they are, just that thing. The pure perception, the pure consciousness, like a painting, understand? Before you label it, understand? Like a baby when born. No conditioning, nothing blank. But this direct seeing must come with all the conditioning and the memory and the brain. And then only is the real one, understand? The baby you are no use, because the baby cannot live life. You got nothing. Understand? So this direct seeing, second stage, 看山不是山. You can understand, yeah? Yeah. Then what happened to the third type of seeing? Then when your wisdom stabilizes, what happened? The third type of seeing is what? Huh? Phase three of the Dhamma. Transcendental. 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 Seeing. Or seeing with wisdom. Understand? Seeing with wisdom. So when you have this type of stable wisdom, when you see, you no longer have duality, understand? Do you realize that this direct seeing at this stage is still a duality? It's still one-sided, isn't it? He can still argue with you, no? No lah, you do not see, you still deluded. That's why you cannot see. 不是三, nothing, is it? Understand? This come about with the understanding. If you read the Surangama Sutta, you will come to understand this. What did the Surangama Sutta say? I write here, then I think some of those who follow me, they will know. Perception of form is what? Perception of form is what? I leave a blank. Whereas, its non-perception is what? Wow, so fast gone already. Very good. Is? Sadhu. Thank you, Mimi. Put another color so that you'll remember. Perception of form is what? That's why in the Surangama Sutta, it's very clear, consciousness. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Can you understand this? The mundane mind use the mundane consciousness to see. Understand? That's why when you see form, you label. Understand? Understand? You look at this physical body. Oh, man, woman, old. You label with the thought. Understand? That's why perception of form is consciousness. The direct seeing, they don't perceive like that. Pure perception, no labeling. That's why the non-perception of form means no word, no description, is wisdom. Remember the Zen analogy? One of the Zen disciples, he thought he awakened already. He was so excited. He rushed over to the master's place. He said, Oh master, thank you so much. I'm full of gratitude. He said, I already awakened. He said, enlightened. The Buddha said, the master said, very good, very good. Come, sit down. What do you see there? He pointed towards the tea table. So the disciple said, tea table. You know what the master did or not? He took out the cane, he whacked the floor. He said, you awaken already. Somehow got table. You somehow perceive form. The answer should be what? Nothing. But when you say nothing, if you don't have the understanding, you cannot justify that position. You can only talk. When you don't understand, you cannot. You will identify. That's why this is a very powerful statement in the Surangama Sutta. 25 years ago, when I read that, I was full of joy. The whole sutta, I love this sentence so much. But this was what I realized. That's why I have been having this direct seeing for so long. And I realized this was what it is. It's in the sutta. That's why it made my job very easy. Now you no need to have this type of doubt. Hey, Brother Teo, book also don't write one. Cannot be. Oh, but Mahayana Sutta got no. If you always Theravada one-sided, you have doubt. You know what is doubt? 5 mental hindrance, one of them. When you have doubt, you don't have faith. How you cultivate? Spiritual faculty not there. Okay, the last part now. I almost covered everything already. So now talking about life. Why you know it's empty? You remember the Mandarin song? 往事只能回味. Understand? Who know how to sing? Come, help to sing. 时光已是永不回. 往事只能回味. When I was very young, I heard this song. I got a lot of joy. That time, I don't know the Dhamma. I don't know the Dhamma. I'm English educated. But I appreciate this song like anything. Because you can only recall as real as it can be. It is only within the moment. Listen. Last time, I already explained that. What is life? Life is existence. To go through life, you have to exist, correct not? Existence is time-based, correct not? Correct not? The whole of the spectrum of time can be divided into past, present, and future, correct not? Of these three, which is the reality? Past is already gone. You cannot do anything about it. Future yet to come. So the only reality is what? The present moment. And how stable is the present moment? Every moment, split second is gone. That is the only reality in life. And I always ask you what? Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you going to check? Without mindfulness, without heedfulness, without the spiritual faculty, you are heedless. You think a lot. You worry a lot. That's why I always use the word. This one not in the sutta one. You can investigate yourself. Human beings' problem is what? They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Correct? Right? You think a lot, you plan a lot, and you worry a lot. But you never live life. Correct? Right? Because if you cannot be aware within the moment, which is the only reality in life, how are you going to live life? Moment to moment, life passes by. You cannot have a pure consciousness of awareness without thought that trigger of fear, worry, anxiety, and the evil roots. How can you be peaceful? If only you are heedful, aware, silent, to experience the beauty and wonders of life. Well, when you are without thought, means what? No fear. No worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no attachment. Well, your thought cannot move, understand not? It does not project into the future and the past. It does not recall memory and trigger of fear, worry, anxiety. That trigger of wrong view to condition you to react and stir. Understand not? So to be within the moment in silent awareness, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, need a lot of wisdom, understand? The mind that is silent and no need to do anything, understand? Just silent to observe the beauty and wonders of nature. Every moment, every instant, things are so pristine and beautiful. When the thought don't interfere, can you live that type of life? That is the phase three, noble life, Pattiveda. That's why I say work hard on phase one and phase two. What is phase one? Pariyatti, learning of the doctrine. That's why get it understood first. Don't be too eager to cultivate. When you understand already, then cultivate with understanding. Meditate with understanding. That time, Patipatti, phase two, very easy. Then you penetrate. I just now share with Brother Tay. You cannot cultivate and meditate into something that you don't understand, correct or not? You want to realize the truth. What is truth also you don't know. You never go and inquire, investigate into what the Buddha asks you to chant every service. The salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, remember? Iti peso bhagava arahang and all those things. Then you know who the Buddha is, develop the faith. Then what is the Dhamma? Swakato bhagavata dhammo. The Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanaiko, pachetang, veditabu, vinohiti. What are all these? You have to reflect, contemplate, and understand it very clearly. That these are the true Dhamma. Sanditiko means can be realized in the here and the now. Akaliko means beyond thought, beyond time. Ehipasiko means can stand up to investigation. Yes or not? So sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, then opanayiko. What is it? Leading inward towards the heart, the trigger of the realization of nibbana. Yes or not? If it does not lead you back to your true nature, true mind, to awaken, to realize nibbana, that is not the true Dhamma. Last one is pachetang. Can be realized by the wise each for themselves. So you meditate, you think you enlightened already, you think you have the Dhamma, but you never check. It's neither sanditiko, akaliko, you didn't even put to test, no ehipasiko. Then, you don't even opanayiko leading to the heart. You all use thought, understand not? Then, no pachetang. We are no wise one inside there to realize anything. It's all knowledge, understand? Enlightened according to you, understand? That's why now you don't laugh. All this puja that the Buddha teach is to allow you to develop the wisdom not to be deluded by what people tell you. Understand? Have an open mind and investigate into everything. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. It will lead to the correct realization, the correct awakening. Understand? So before 10 o'clock, I finish. Huh? Less than 1 minute. You see, I already told you, moment to moment life passes by. As real as it can be, what happened? It's only within the moment, no? The split second. No? And you somehow cannot see. You know? You think life is so real. Understand? No? You can understand? No? Since birth until now, you cannot deny you live through that phase of life there. I ask you one question, is it real? Huh? It's already gone in there. It's the past. Even this moment, after I say it, gone. Dead and gone. As real as it can be, everything is within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. And you somehow deludedly cannot see impermanent, go and attach, cling, and deludedly go and give meaning. That's why the phenomenal world has such power over you. Because you deludedly grasp and cling. To what? To what your consciousness show you. To what your perception tell you. To all your views and opinion and arguing. This is what human beings that are deluded and heedless do. That's why you cannot see. The truth is moment to moment life passes by. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead. How real can life be? Then you ask yourself the question, Kuan Yin. Five aggregate of form and mind are empty, unreal. True or not? Split second is gone. Split second is gone. How real can it be? As real as it can be, it's only within the moment and it's gone. But there is another saying in the Heart Sutta. He never give you falsehood. He said true emptiness is what? Wonderful existence. Ah, that's why the enlightened one, they know. He said, even though it's in the conditioned world, not so real. Moment to moment, just slip away. But there is such thing as life, anasara. There is such thing as with the wisdom connected to this five aggregate of form and mind. This five aggregate of form and mind can live, anasara. It can be with the moment in silent awareness to truly appreciate all of the beauties and wonders of life, like what I told you just now. The third phase of Dhamma, which is the most beautiful, the fruition of it, anasara, the fruit of your hard work. And that is, even though within the conditioned world, unreal, but there is such thing as life, anasara. With that wisdom, when you understand profound true emptiness, you penetrate. What happened? Life become wonderful, meaningful. That's why I got good food. You don't want to eat? You think you very spiritual? Pass to me, I eat. Because you think, hey, I'm very spiritual, no. I cultivate, no. I must not have craving, no. Going after good food is craving, no. Huh? You bring, I eat. What did the Buddha tell you? Not to attach to good food. He never say cannot eat good food. Understand not? The Buddha, during his time, he was invited to the palace. You think the king give him very simple food? Understand not? Ananda Pindika, you think he cook very simple food for the Buddha? They cook the best. Understand? They try to offer the best. So when you understand, you are not deluded. It's not to say you cannot have good life, good thing. You have to have the wisdom not to deludedly hold on to it, cling on to it, grasp on to it. But they never belong to anybody. They are just condition arising, cause of phenomena, not real. Moment to moment, they change, they transform. And every moment is a different moment. That's why with wisdom, when you penetrate, you see things so clearly, so differently. Okay? With that, I end today's sharing. I hope it's recorded. Because initially, you know why this problem come on. There are some forces that want to stop this talk. Delay first. Delay for 15 minutes. Then connection. All the while I come, no such problem. That's why you echo and flow. Nothing will happen. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because before I finish, I dare not tell you. You know why? If I tell you, something else can happen. That's why you cannot simply like say things. You have to be very careful. And now Q&A. We still got hopefully 10-20 minutes. Sorry, I exceeded 5 minutes. 10:05. I supposed to stop at 10. Now you all understand. Now this topic got meaning or not? Got meaning? Emptiness? Anybody got question, you can ask while I take a drink. Almost coming to 2 hours.
Question from the floor.
Anybody got any question? You can clarify, don't worry. Maybe Brother Danny got a lot to discuss with Brother Suya. He must be something. Yes. No. I know the reason. No. You must know sometimes the recording, certain recording is like that, Ari, like it was go back to the original zero again. You don't worry. You listen, near there already, yeah? You move it a bit. Once it cross that mark, it will continue. They know one, they listen before. That's why you investigate and find out yourself. Understand not? If everything also you ask means what, no? Like my son tell me, no? Oh, daddy, you all are old generation, no? This IT thing, the children, young also know how to play on. Yun Chan not here, I tell you, she tell us a great story. He is the grandmother, he got one grandchildren, 3 years old, 4 years old, you know. So the husband bought her iPhone, no? Last time our old phone must press for it to start on, isn't it? So she was looking for the press button to start the phone, no? Then the grandchildren come, Mama, no need press one, slide, the phone come on. Grandchildren also know, she laugh like anything. So, you know how they know, they try. So, children like to play things, isn't it? So you must try, you must not be rigid, understand? Here, our conditioning, our training, we scared, understand? Like my son said, you try, you don't be scared. I said, not to say I don't want to try. I said, this thing is too sophisticated for me. Understand? I old school one. From what they call basic, fundamental, all the maths, everything, science, you ask me, I understand very fast one. Understand? But IT one, there is no, you realize you buy your handphone, now no description one, no. No instruction one, no. It's in the internet, they say. You go to the internet, and it's so thick. Try. In the phone itself, correct. Now you know how to use, you know it's in the phone. But when you don't know how to use, you say, what type of phone? I pay so much, worse than my old phone. Because you are so used to the old way. But when you understand how to use, it's like the new car with the technology. When you don't know how to use, automatic car, you don't like to drive. No? You like the shift stick. No? But when you know how to drive, you say, this is good, man. I ask you to go back to the old one, you don't want already. Like now, go back to Nokia, you don't want already. No? You want Samsung. You want iPhone. What generation? No? So understanding transforms you. That is a good question. Correct. So these are Dhamma when you understand. Everything is Dhamma when you understand. Your life itself is your best teacher, I tell you. Your best teacher. You can never learn apart from life. Your life is about reality. Life is about relationship. Life is about how you manifest and interact in your relationship with nature, beings. If it's not real life experience, you can never learn. The defilement will not show up. Your sati will not have that ability to see. But because you went into life, that's why you can see. That's why the Kayanupassana, third category of cultivation, the Buddha make it very clear. Sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment, in the midst of life. That's why you can understand. That's why I always say that is the real meditation. And I really, really reversed my cultivation during the early year. Then I moved into this four foundation of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness. I met one teacher, very good, he told me, the highest meditation, the Thai monk, Ajahn Yantra. He said, he just, these two sentences, we choose aware, all action, all movement in the present moment. Just like that, he said, that is the highest meditation. And straight away, like it dawned upon me, that this sati sampajana is the real one. Because initially, I couldn't really penetrate this understanding. Why did the Buddha ask me to be aware? It's like you meditate without excitement, isn't it? No calmness, no formal meditation, no sitting, no anapanasati. Just aware. Don't try to know. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Sitting, aware. Lying down, also aware. Then later, answer nature's call, also aware. Like one of the sisters asked me, Chanzi, what is there to be aware when I let go? That's why you don't understand. When you let go, awareness totally different. Really totally different. It's not like you all quickly go inside the hastily. Then relief. Means you never aware of the whole phenomenon and the whole reaction of this problem. Next time go in with awareness, then you see what happened. Then you know who is the boss. Understand? The thought will try to condition you. Fast, quickly, come out already. After that, if you're too slow, your pants will stain and all those things. Then you like, gang, why must you do that? You can still have sati and awareness. And you tell the thought, enough. You have been directing my life for too long. Now, I am the master. You are the servant. You serve me. Understand? That's why I make use of this form and mind to live life. They are like a tool and a vehicle for you to use to live life. You use them. Last time they use you, understand? Thought become your master, condition you into negativity. Thought tell you a lot of story. That guy want to cheat you. Be careful. Then you believe, yeah, this guy last time cheat me before. Then you don't like him, understand? Then that perception come from where? Your memory, your conditioning. Maybe he has changed, transformed, and already enlightened, you don't know. Then you go and perceive him that way. Then out of your fear, you meet the enlightened one also, you don't know. That's not. Then you just quickly excuse, sorry, I don't have time. I think we meet some other time. Then the guy will just laugh. Heedless one is heedless one. The real one in front also cannot see. Oh, you're busy. Take your time. You just go. They just smile. But if he's still the same old self, then you can excuse yourself. Say, you got anything or not? Otherwise, I think I got something to do. You don't mind. If you speak like that, then it will be different. Then they can give you a hint. It's okay. If you are busy, I think I will leave you alone. Actually, I just want to drop by to tell you something. Over the years, certain things has happened and changed. I would like to apologize to you. The moment you hear this, you better serve that guy well. Take care of him. He is your queen. You know what is the meaning of it? Your savior. People can come and apologize to you means they already realize the truth. At least the mundane truth. When you start to know your fault and you are willing to repent and ask for forgiveness, that is the beginning of sincerity. You no longer want to go the old way of cheating, deceiving and covering up things. That's why your mind cannot calm down to that basic simplicity and sincerity. You can never cultivate Dhamma. Dhamma need a lot of sincerity. Sincerity drives the way. When sincerity is there, your faith and your perseverance will be there. Understand? No? You will have faith and you will persevere because you are very sincere. You know this way is very important, very beautiful. You will never waste it. You will diligently, through your faith, persevere and cultivate. No matter what obstacle come, you will just move on with understanding. Like the Buddha said, strive on with heedfulness. Appamadina sampadeda. Okay? No more question. Then we end. Yes, Candy. Pass the mic to her. Yeah.
Yes. To penetrate. Yeah. Please guide me. What do you mean by penetrate?
Okay. Thank you. You off the thing first. Sadhu. Very good question. This comes from a person who really cultivates. You see, like I said, you have to use the direct seeing to penetrate the Dhamma. Asana. If you use thought base, you cannot. That's why now you already have the ability to connect and silence. you just continue to be silent and stabilize that silent mind, that mindfulness, the awareness. Don't try to know. The more silent you are, the more relaxed you are. Remember the four support. Relax into every state. Aware. Stabilize it until you are 24-hour aware. Cultivating noble eightfold path to develop the understanding, the wisdom. Then when you do formal meditation, just silent. Trust. Let the nature do. Don't use the mind. Don't use the thought. Just silent. Continue to be mindful throughout the day, heedful throughout the day. When you're silent, you will feel everything that is arising within your form and mind. You will understand a lot of things that is going on. You will see your aggregates of mind initially actively coming and going, coming and going. You don't react, you don't judge. You remember the meditation? The definition of sati. I put in the notes. Yeah? What is sati? What is sati? Or what is mindfulness? Sati or mindfulness is the silent. The first word is silent. Yeah? Choiceless awareness of what is. Remember? Silent means completely no chattering, no thinking. Silent, choiceless awareness. Choiceless means you don't make choice. You don't go and perceive or react or do anything. Asana. You just silent your mind and just observe. You all call it bare awareness, but you cannot understand what is it. Bare means don't do anything. Asana. Yeah. That's why that silent mind awareness. Recently, Wave gave me two cartons, I think, of Dhamma book. Normally, I don't want this Dhamma book. I see, I just pass it on to the temple. But some of these are quite okay, especially those written by Ajahn Chah. But then there are some new ones. But this one, when I opened out, I was so surprised, though. You all heard of this monk, isn't it? Ashin Tijaniya. Yeah. Yeah, he has improved a lot. Yeah. This book I read was so different from the magazine and the earlier notes that they sent me. This one, at least, there's a lot of change. Yeah. One of the class, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday class, I will share with you. He is starting to teach more or less exactly like what I share with you, but in a different way. Based on his present understanding. And with that understanding, he will progress very fast. He will progress very fast. Yeah. He also knows the importance of non-labeling. He also knows the importance of relax, silent the mind, bear attention, don't react, don't judge. Just aware of all your feeling, your sensation, everything that arrives. But there is still a lot of thought behind. He still cannot see. He think no thought. Because the real sati, silent. Not full yet. Asana. He has some of it. He has understood quite a lot. You read through that book, you will know. It's about defilement, on the title. Square book. How many of you have seen? No, this is the latest. Waves just sent to me. With the red defilement. And I think it's a new book. I think. Yes. That is the book. Blue color. With a red there.
It's not a new book. It's his first book.
Oh, his first book. But it's a recent book.
No, I had the book.
Is it? No, I think edited version. This one is different.
It's blue color.
Yeah, he said he recently accumulated all this from interview from meditator.
Yeah,
then
he the first one, which is the picture one.
Correct, that one is the old version. This one is the latest. He just come out one, I think. because he compiled all this from the experience that he gone through with the discussion of yogi. Then because he got some form of reasoning, some form of understanding, then he able to actually put them in a more clear manner. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you still cannot see those things that are still thought based inside there. But it's already very good. For anybody who can write like that, at this point of time, it's already very good. But please, don't get me wrong. I'm not here to comment anything. I just to give you the understanding. Don't go and tell other people outside. Please, not the intention. The intention is, if it's a good book, I will tell you it's a good book. But I can tell you this is already so far very good book. But I haven't read the rest. I only flicked through a few pages. But it's good enough. I will highlight to you all when you come to the Tuesday and Thursday class. But please remember, 19 October is the last. Before 19 October, we end the class already, 16. So you got two more, start Thursday or what, or three. After that, we have to postpone until I come back from Amazon, middle of November. 13 November. Okay? So shall we end? No. It's about defilement. Don't underestimate defilement. They laugh at you, something like that. But I think this is the edited version. Improved version. No, the first book was still a lot of thought based. That time sati was not understood. But he did mention, why must you note? Why must you label? Well, now he dared to put it down. And he explained to you very clearly. When you note and label, how can you be aware? Like I explained to you, your mind can do only one thing at a time. If it's busy thinking, you see, you are either aware within the moment, silent, or you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought means what? You are preoccupied with this thinking. When you are busy thinking, how can you understand what is going on in life? How can you understand? How can you be aware of the reality in front of you? Where you are preoccupied with this thought. Then when you are thinking without awareness, your views and opinion are very strong. You are reacting. Chattering, reacting inside without you knowing because you are so heedless. Then how can you have that silent mind to be sensitive on what is going on? That's why you cannot feel. You don't know what is sensation. You cannot feel your heartbeat. You cannot feel the vibration within you. You cannot be sensitive to the environment, nature, energy, everything. Why? Because you are not silent. That's why that true mind, that true nature that is silent is so sensitive, so different. The awareness is so different when there is no thought inside there. You try to be with a moment without thought and see. Don't say, I say cannot. You go back and try. I tell you, you try not to think. You try to be silent for even 10 seconds. You can do it, I congratulate you. I salute you, really. You hardly rest your mind because it is so heedless. The habitual tendency. All of your response to memory, your attachment, your clinging, your craving, your wrong view, your delusion, your hindrance, they are so strong embedded inside your memory. You will never understand this until the day you connect and understand your true mind. Then you start to like, got a shock of your life. All the while, you have been deceived and deluded by this mundane mind. And all the while the teaching was there, you never understood. You only supposed to focus on the five spiritual faculties. Don't go and control and suppress the defilement. Don't go and fight the defilement. That's why that title says, don't underestimate the defilement. But not to fight them, to understand them. so that you are not deluded by them, not deceived by them. But a lot of people teach differently. Control, suppress, asana. Don't try to get angry. Who is the one not trying to get angry? The thought doesn't want to get angry. Yeah, they say this is an evil root. You do that, suppression. You are not true in understanding. Understanding means what? When you're silent, you trace the origination factor, like what the Buddha teach. In the first place, before you get angry, there was no anger there. True or not? Then how does anger come to be? The Buddha say, develop the mindfulness to trace the origination factor. Remember? Dhammanupassana? The Dhammanupassana. Remember not? The 18 sense drive. 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases. When you trace, you realize it comes from one of your sense organs. Either you see something that you are not happy, that's why you react and become angry, or you hear something, or you recall something through your thought process and memory. These are the three powerful though. So you come to realize that anger is condition arising, not me. But because of wrong view, when I perceive with negativity, means I see without yoniso manasikara, wise attention. This word yoniso manasikara, he go and explain as right attitude. Don't want to comment. He has his understanding and his view. It is wise attention, it's not right attitude, when you understand. We are yoniso and ayoniso, they are wise and unwise. Manasikara is attention, it's not attitude. It's attention. At the moment of attention, whether you got wisdom or you don't have wisdom, play a very big role. That's why without yoniso manasikara, wise attention, at the moment of sense experience, you cannot cut. You cannot do anything, I tell you. Feeling will be conditioned into craving straight away. You can see them happening. As long as your view is not straightened, you don't have wisdom. That's why you cannot cut one. You cannot let go one. That one is all thought-based, mundane. Don't attach, let go. Who let go? If you are still deluded and got attached when you want to let go, the thought try to let go, anasana. I don't want to cling, anasana. But the craving to have it is so strong. No? Then because your thought say, no, this is defilement. I shouldn't hold. But the craving still there, not rooted out. No? Anasana. You will fall into it, temptation, anasana. Initially like bribe, no la, not right la. Then one day, they come in another way, oh la de la. I think okay lah, but you keep it to yourself. Otherwise we get into trouble. Then you start to compromise. Because not rooted out. The thought is guilty. Because there is right and wrong in the thought. Understand? But this is not wisdom. Wisdom you will never compromise. Understand? Things that will lead to decay in the economy. At the expense of the economy of the country. The health of the country. The well-being of all others, you will never do. But this one got karmic implication. That's why you cannot violate. And you will understand one very clearly deep inside you. So that's why the real cultivation is very different. How did I end up here? I was trying to explain one. No, the book one over already. The book one was because the Yoniso Manasikara came out. No, before that. Well, I hit that point, yoniso manasikara, because you need to have wisdom when you cultivate. No, the question earlier, I answered it. Never mind. Later I listen to this, hopefully the condition will come back and I will recall. Otherwise I cannot remember things. But it's okay, we should end. Okay? Yeah. I thank you all for your patience.
Sadhu.
At first I thought it would be a very dry subject for most of you, no? But surprisingly towards the end, you all like wide awake. Because you start to understand. I can explain in very simple terms that using that box, remember? Form, does not differ from the empty space. Understand? Or emptiness. The emptiness does not differ from form. Ah, then you see, really, the two are there. Understand? Or they are actually all the while there. But because form is condition arising, causal phenomenon, never real, impermanent, coming, go. Understand? Or the moment you attach, cling, give meaning, suffering will arise. That's why it's anatta, it's empty. Then later on, I give the other example. You start to understand. Then you realize, wow, heart sutta, so profound yet so simple. Now very simple, isn't it? Now you can relate and understand it, even using your rational understanding. But a lot of them cultivate already, and that's why they have a lot of joy, a lot of understanding, and they appreciate it so much. And now you should thank Suyana, the recording very clear. Very clear. And this one you listen, I tell you, you have faith. You penetrate very fast. Actually, this one is the whole lot of Heart Sutta. Explained so clearly. Even commentary, you cannot get this type of explanation. You don't believe, you go and read other commentary and see. The book is so thick. And you don't know what that is right to tell you, unless you have wisdom. Okay, we are to the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. We were chant.
Before we do so, share the merits, I think you would like to extend a token of appreciation to brother.
Oh, okay.
Sister Gan, please come on.
Yeah.
Sister Vivian.
Yeah, sadhu, and rejoice. Yeah. So I rejoice first. Thank you for the sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I will pass this to Brother Chua. Where is Brother Chua? Sadhu. Yeah, he very kind. He every time come and provide transport. I rejoice. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Then he always donate back to your society. See? Empty. Nothing changed. Correct or not? Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. But so much wholesomeness happened, although it's empty. Where you rejoice, merit, wholesomeness. Then the act of giving is meritorious, generosity. Then I receive, I rejoice, you all rejoice. Then that transformed the whole thing. Then I offer back. He receive, you rejoice. Then he offer back. You remember the economic theory? Somebody wrote in the internet. The prostitute start with $100 US. End up, so much thing get done. But the same $100 return to the prostitute finally. Remember? He went to the hotel. He need the $100 deposit to open a room to do business and get money. Understand? Then from there, before the thing is all over, so much economic activity get done now. And that same $100 was returned to its original owner, I think. You go and read. I cannot remember. But so much thing get done. No? But that is the mundane one. Don't go and get that into your mind. But the analogy was not bad. He said, money is what they call just a piece of paper. But if you all trust that paper, you know US dollar, what they write there? In God we trust. No? But when it comes to making money, they only trust themselves, they don't trust anybody. So the paper is only a paper. But if you give meaning, you trust that paper can become value, can bring about so much exchange. Understand? So like your faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, remember that? That faith is just a faith, no? Not even a piece of paper, no? You don't sign IOU with the Triple Gem, no? Understand that? I vow to take refuge. No need to sign one. Just from your sincere heart. Understand that? That's why, if it's done with understanding, with trust, with sincerity, it has great power. Understand that? So you must trust, have faith. Then, when the trust is there, the faith will drive you. And the cultivation will actually manifest. And you will understand on your own because of your sincerity, your faith. And sincerity will lead to all the possibility. Once you are very sincere, your faith will be very strong. Then you will persevere. Then you will make sure you diligently cultivate. Other things not important really, where you see the importance of this Buddha Dhamma. You see the danger of heedlessness. You see the importance of heedfulness leading to all the wholesomeness and the spiritual life. Okay, so that's it. We can do the sharing of merits and transformation. Sorry, tonight I think taken too much of your time. Nearly 10:40 already. So share your merits with the devas. Akasata Chabomata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu. Yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, thank you so much. Pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Sādhu, I rejoice.
Brothers and sisters, please have yourself to some refreshments outside, before you go back.